Healers, stand up. You are needed. We are being called. Warriors, stand up. You are needed. And you are being called. Mumbos, Iyas, priest, priestesses, Babalao, all gone. Witches, stand up. We are being called. It is time.
Welcome back. I wanted to share that. I'll share the full video on my social media platforms. I'm hoping everybody had a great week. It's about to be Juneteenth weekend, and I'm going to encourage everybody to be safe. Go celebrate, you know, go have fun in the city, especially here in Atlanta with its rich black cultural historical roots. Go out and have a good time, but be very vigilant and very mindful that there may be somebody lurking around in the vicinity who wants to shit on your parade. Be very careful. Another story came out about a shooting at a church in Alabama, in Birmingham, I'm going to say. And as much as I don't want to get into it or acknowledge it because it is just ridiculous, it's disgusting, you have to. You've got to send a prayer to those people's families. It's a constant in this country. It's just constant senseless violence in this country. And so just prayers to the families of those people. I just found out a couple hours ago. It's ridiculous. Everybody just be safe this weekend. In this episode, I wanted to talk about navigating our communities as Black women and my experiences, how it's affected me, how it's shaped me into the woman that I am, how I interact with men, and in my 40s, at 40, how I'm deciding to take those experiences and everything that's come with it and reshape how I interact. I think that's a good way to say it. So, unfortunately, I want to start off by saying this because I have a lot in my head right now. So there used to be this YouTube channel that I would follow very religiously, because it had really, really heartfelt stories about people and their struggles with addiction or abuse, and all of that. And I just thought it was a really great insight into a lot of these people. People are the way that they are as a result of their experiences. And I had come across a story that affected me. I did not realize what I was watching, and it affected me in a way that was very negatively. The story, it was haunting me, and I had to pray a lot of nights to, and I don't even want to speak of it right now because I do not want it to pop back in my head, but I had to pray a lot of nights to keep this story out of my head. It was that ridiculous, that painful, that disturbing, that I did not want to. I would be on my way to sleep and then this story would pop in my head. So I decided to not watch any of those videos anymore. We should be very, as Black women in our communities, we are healers. And I started off the show with that clip. I just come across it because it is time. My cousin Ish says this, and it's not like she came up with it, but she says this, and she said it to me. It was the first time that I heard somebody say it. And she said, women are the healers of their families. For centuries, before we were even thought of, there have always been spiritual healers. And I always have been saying that I wanted to tap more into that. I wanted to tap more into spirituality. It's very broad for me right now because I don't know where to begin. But it's something I want to tap into. So it's, I'm looking up things and I'm reading things and listening to people and just kind of trying to see what moves me. People have a lot of ways that they tap into their spirituality. They could, you know, want to go back to their roots and maybe they'll do some type of, maybe they know where they're from and then they go back to that country and they dig deeper into their spiritual practices and they decide to become a part of that. Maybe they're led some type of way. Maybe spirit leads them some type of way. I'm not really sure on how people decide what spiritual practices to follow, but generally speaking, I want to get more connected with that. I want to get more connected with my ancestors. I want to be a healer. I don't know if I want to do it. And I'm not saying it. I do not know what, what level I want to do that on, but I want to be healed. The young women in my life, the young men in my life, I want to be able to have a word for them and be able to help guide them and lead them in the right direction because I didn't have that. And so, yes, women were the healers. Sis was saying we come out of the dark, start practicing in public, stop being hidden. We all know how that is. If you were anything outside of religious, it's outside of religion. If you practice anything outside of religion, people have shunned that for centuries. And I think today it is time that these people come out. I was watching something on TikTok and there was a woman, there were a couple of people talking about how they are connected and how they practice hoodoo or they practice some form of African spirituality and their journey. And it's actually, it's really, really beautiful. It's like, I fell down a rabbit hole with that. We have to be very, very mindful of what's going on today. You can't escape what's happening. You have to be very, very careful. My, some of the stories that I've been coming across have been very, very heavy. And I've been very infuriated by the handling of how we've been handling our children and how we've been very careless with who we allow in their spaces. It's a thing. It's not just a Black thing. But I always say I'm speaking from this Black American perspective as a woman. And a lot of the stories that I saved were just a lot of the stories that I've seen were just that, just the mismanagement, like the mishandling of Black children. Today I saw a story on The Shade Room and there was a rapper that was charged with abusing and torturing his 4-year-old daughter because she was a bedwetter. He had her doing these laborious tasks as punishment and had her doing wall planks. And for whatever reason, she passed out. I'm being facetious with the whatever reason. She wound up having to have an emergency surgery on her brain because she had bleeding on the brain. And the little girl went home and is not the same. She's not the same little girl that went to see her father. I'll share that story as well. They are Atlanta natives. This man went out to LA to pursue his rap career. And before I go the fuck off, because I'm going to go the fuck off, I'm really, we have to do better. We have to do better. I'm so, I'm so upset. We have to do better. We can't continue to say, well, the mom didn't know. And oh, like we can't, we at some point we have to just say, this is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. Nobody wants that to happen to their child. I feel really bad for the mother, but this is unacceptable, and better choices and decisions could have been made. People need to be held accountable. What would make you send your child to the home of a fucking rapper? Why would that make sense? I don't know the extent of the relationship that the little girl even had with her father. She's 4 years old. She had no business being alone with him that way. I'm not being accusatory of anything, because obviously this is a horrible situation. It's not something that you expect to happen, but this is horrible. What I want to know is why this little girl was able to go all the way to LA to stay with her father, who was a man trying to be a rapper, and why that would make sense for a mother to do. If y'all just like take away, oh, but don't blame her. Just take all that away. Let me know why it would make sense to do something like that. Because it's her father. I wouldn't be okay with somebody sending their daughter or their son to see a mother who was a rapper. What type of lifestyle are they leading? Let me know. Make it make sense. Let me know what type of lifestyle a rapper leads to where it would be okay to send your child across the country from Atlanta to LA and be comfortable with that. Because that's their child, it should be okay. Like, that should be enough. That's the bare minimum. We need to cut that out. Do better by your kids. The little girl has come back home and she is not the same. She hasn't opened her eyes in 7 months. She's awake, but she hasn't been able to open her eyes in 7 months. She's in a wheelchair. I will say women are not, we have this intuitive thing, like we are very connected with a lot of things. Like, we're very connected, so we almost have like a third eye, and we know what the fuck is up, even if we try to make it make sense and pacify how we're feeling, overthink our intuition. We do that a lot. I'm sure that the mom was not 100% okay with it, but maybe she wanted to try to cultivate a relationship. I'm just assuming, because that's all I can do at this point. And, oh, this is her father. He would never hurt her. That's what you want to believe. But I just, and you never know what's going to happen, but I just want to know why you would send your four-year-old to be with her father, who is a, I don't know, struggling rap artist. I don't know. How does she fit into that lifestyle? Now, I can come to LA, book me a little hotel Airbnb, and then you can spend some time with her that way. She's four. There was another story I came across, and this is a constant thing. It was essentially a young black child who got pregnant by her mother's husband at 13. He took her virginity. He had been in her mother's life. The mother had had two boys with this man. The mother was the breadwinner, but she would work a lot of jobs. So I would imagine just underpaying service industry type jobs, to where her mother would be gone all the time. As this young woman is explaining her story, she would say her mother would work a lot. That's what she said. My mom would work a lot. Her mother never raised her. She was raised by her grandmother. Eventually they sent for her, and this man started to groom her. He started to ask her for things. He started to ask her to come lay with him. She never felt comfortable with this man. Then eventually she would have to tell him no 24/7 all day. And then she would just give in to his requests. This man eventually started to try to turn her mother against her, and it worked. This man did something to her. She told her mother. The man left for a week. came back because her mother said, well, you hadn't been penetrated. If he had penetrated you, the mother had to confirm there was no penetration. He said he was sorry, came back. Eventually there was, then they had the father, this man continued to turn the mother against her own child, and it worked. She gets pregnant. Eventually, it's a whole back and forth story. Eventually, the girl goes to stay back with her grandmother after she has the baby. Grandmother sees a text message from this man, this animal, because he had been harassing her still. And they find out the whole story. The whole story is revealed. The man is arrested. It's a common story. And I got frustrated with that again because the mother was saying, you know, she forgives the both of them. She forgives her husband and her daughter. And Jesus, God, the Bible, some type of religious babble is why. I just have so much, like, what I want to say, I have so much anger for women like that. There's no fucking reason at all. There's no reason at all that somebody should be able to come into your life and tell you your child is all of these negative, terrible things. And she has to fight alone by herself against an adult man. I have nothing for people. I have nothing for women like that. I'm done giving grace to people like that. I have never experienced anything like that. But I do have experiences that I'm going to share where I felt really unsafe in my own community. And this feeling that I have is because I'm upset. We got to stop with these excuses for people and hold people in our community accountable. I don't give a fuck what you have going on as a parent. You need to do better by your children. I don't give a shit. It's always excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse while your children are being tortured. The fucks I have, I have none. I have none. I don't give a shit what you got going on. I'm not going to put you on a pedestal and say, let's help the mom when you let your child go through some shit like this. And she told you. She told you. And because we just got to have a man around all the time. Grow the fuck up. You're working every day, all day, all hours of the day, and this man gets to be home? I'm so disgusted. Because it's 2022 and we've got the same motherfucking bonehead ass bitches with the same sob fucking story. And I'm sick of it. I'm disgusted. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. So let's help these bonehead ass bitches. Let's be the healers. Okay? If you know something, if you have any bit of intellect, if you are connected in any kind of way spiritually, come out of the closet. Do not keep that talent hidden because you see what the fuck is going on. A bunch of broken women constantly having babies with the same fucking excuse. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. Stop having babies with these motherfucking bums. to where you got to work all these fucking odd hours of the day at piss poor ass jobs and all they do is disrespect you, where you can't be around your kids and you leave the door open for anybody to abuse them. And then because you don't want to take responsibility, you go tapping on that Bible and reading scripture. The fuck out of here. I'm so sick of it. I'm disgusted by it and I'm sick of it. It's no excuse. This shit has gone on for far too long, okay? And I wanted to say, oh, but I understand it's hard and all this. I don't give a fuck about none of that. Imagine being a child. Imagine being a child and you're a product of this bullshit. This is your fucking community. This is your household. This is your life. And you can't escape it. The sadness that I have. Oh, all right. I'm going to take a break and we're going to finish. We're going to come back. I'm going to come back. I just need to catch my breath really quick. If you're looking for an amazing website to save on herbal supplements, on immunosupport supplements, on essential oils, on skincare, all of the above, I came across a website called pipingrock.com many years ago while I was on the hunt for a great quality immunosupport products. I found black seed oil there for like a fraction of the price. Head over to Piping Rock. That's PIPINGROCK.com. If you put in the code CAP788, you'll save $10 off your first purchase. That's CAP788. And the website is PipingRock.com. So at this point, I've decided to completely just be like, you know, I'm going to be supportive of women in this community. This community includes women who are seeking to be better, who are seeking to be more connected with their spirituality, who are seeking to uplift women in a positive way, who are encouraging therapy, who are encouraging, you know, and not all therapy is paid therapy, because sometimes you can't afford that. The community that I want to be a part of and support is a community of black women who encourage and uplift each other. I don't give a fuck about anybody else. Every motherfucker, excuse me, who has something negative to say about black women, you know what I'm saying? We're nappy, we're dark, we whatever. Don't nobody want no educated women. You don't know how to be submissive to a man. All of that out of the door. I'm not interested in any of that. And I mean in no way. I mean, if something happens in your community, you keep it over there. I'm not interested. And what I decided was, is you all remember when we were all on this support black businesses or support businesses that have, and this is for the natural hair community. It was all about, we're only going to support businesses that are black owned or businesses that have black decision makers in positions of power. So if it's not black owned, this company needs to have black people in position, decision-making positions, executive level, C-suite, black people, right? Because we had found that there are a lot of people that come into our communities, Asians, etc., who will sell us some shit, but then they follow you around the store. There's a store by me that, you know, slaps these sensors all on products, but it's like all on the ingredients. And now I don't know what the fuck I'm buying. I try to unpackage it at home. It's been taped a million times. I mean, they just make the experience for you to shop there very difficult. But we line their pockets. We send their kids to school. They got Teslas and big ass mansions and shit. But they get to come into your community and be disrespectful, very prejudiced and bigoted, not helpful, rude. We support these types of people. So the same energy that we had for holding these people accountable, I'm holding the rest of these motherfuckers accountable in our community as well. I don't give a fuck if you are a straight man or a gay man. I don't give a fuck if you're a straight black woman or a gay black woman. If you have energy, negative energy, then fuck you too. Okay? Fuck you too. I have nothing for you. And I mean that with everything in me. Get on board or leave us the fuck alone. Don't ask for anything. Don't ask for any type of support because I'm not giving it. I'm not on the boat where one injustice to one community is an injustice to us all. Mm-mm. I'm not on that team anymore. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to black women, everybody got something fucked up to say. Even the motherfuckers in your own community find ways to call you, to just call you all types of fucked up names and be disgusting to you. So fuck all those people. I have nothing for those people. It is time that we disassociate and detach from all of that bullshit and stop being so fucking inclusive. We've got to get these babies together. It's like terrifying to hear how a lot of children are, they have these horrible guardians and parents and how they're just left to fend for themselves. And it never works. It never works because there's always predators around. They always get taken advantage of in the worst way. It makes me think of my nephews and my heart. I just get so aggressive. I get so aggressive about how I feel about protecting them. Every child deserves that. Every child deserves guardians and parents that will go to the ends of the earth to protect them. They deserve a wonderful childhood. They deserve to have their innocence. Before I get into my experiences in this fucked up ass community, I want to share a few things that I thought were very empowering, because that is the movement. It says, it's crazy. Working on yourself never ends. You get better and then boom. Now it's new shit you got to work on. You just be unlocking endless levels of growth. It could be difficult and it can be painful. But if you keep that type of mind frame, it's endless levels of growth you're unlocking. And if you do that at 20, it's amazing. I'm at 40. I was doing this at 35. In my 30s, I'll say, but more so, I was getting really connected with it and really trying to be better and really self-reflecting at 35. Really like looking at myself like, wow, not in a way where I was being a victim or being or pacifying people's behavior towards me, but I would look at every situation, whether it was a work situation or an intimate relationship, and say, wow, what could I have done different? Because nobody's perfect in any situation. What could I have done different? It's very, very helpful. It's very, very helpful. The goal is to be better. Self-reflection helps you be better. Nobody is always doing something to you. You're not a fucking victim. Things happen to you, but they make you stronger. It's life. Unfortunately, we can't go through life, you know, with rainbows and lollipops and everything be great. It makes you a stronger person. It's about not letting it make you weak. It makes you a survivor. It makes you a warrior. You feel me? Let's change the fright. Let's change the word. You're not a fucking victim. When I speak about women and how they are these beautiful vessels of life and how you have this power that lies within you, you're healers, all of that is a fact. There's a person that I follow on social media, and she said something like, I didn't agree with it. She said something like, everybody's upset, you know, and about, you know, you're now that's what makes you, she had a whole conversation. She's like, that's what makes you mad, that other people want to carry children. Like that, like all you are is a breeder. Mm-mm. If it wasn't important, if it didn't matter, motherfuckers wouldn't want to try to do it. To be able to carry life, that's your God given, like you were born with that. And now somebody wants to do it artificially. It's not because it doesn't diminish me to being a breeder. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I had to click off the video. I had to click right off. I had to click right off, honey. people that are in this world trying to imitate this divineness, and that is of being a woman. They want to live a life of a woman. They want to also be able to do the same things that you do as a woman with your body. They want to be able to carry a child and birth a child and all of that. If it wasn't fucking important, motherfuckers wouldn't want to do it. If it wasn't important in a way, and it's always, I'm going to say this. This wasn't a woman who couldn't have children and carry children who this artificial uterus was created for. It was created for a man who became who was a trans woman. And she wanted to be able to carry a child. She wanted to be able to have that experience. So a lot of things are because men have decided that they want to live a certain lifestyle and they have the power to do that. And so now, you know what? Like Bruce, now I've lived a life as a man my whole life. I've gotten accolades, I've made money, I've been in these spaces, and now I want to live my life as a woman. That's fine. But I also want to have a child too. You can have a child. No, I want to carry a child. I want to carry it. And I want to birth it. Men are the ones who lead that. Whether you decide to, you know, become a woman or not. Get what I'm saying? They have the power to do those things. Not a woman. They didn't start doing no motherfucking artificial goddamn uterus transplants for no woman. Because her uterus collapsed and she couldn't have children. I'm sorry. If they did, then correct me. But when I read this story years ago, it was for a man. And he had the first successful uterine transplant. Okay? So, get the fuck up. I don't want to hear anything about any fucking thing. I am going to support my community. Okay? I don't want anybody saying, I don't want any energy about anything. I have very strong feelings about men in general. And I'm not a male basher at all. But there are a lot of things that just make me shake my fucking head. I just shake my head. You know, black women we have to be so inclusive all the time. So inclusive all the time. It doesn't even matter. Nobody fucking likes you. They get to call your children black and ugly and nappy. Everybody does it. Everybody gets to call your children black, ugly, and nappy. Your little girls. Then we send our little girls out here to be taken advantage of. I mean, it's really pathetic. All of the leaps and bounds that we've made, and we have to, as far as, you know, we've gotten positions in STEM, science and technology. We're in medicine. Black women have made strides. Like, we, out of all of the cultural groups, I want to say we've made the biggest leaps. Like, look at the community. The community is garbage. To be able to come out of that is really amazing. Not only have we come out of it, we have become investors. We've taken control of our own lives. Nobody seems to be, I'm saying this very facetiously, but nobody seems to be interested in black women. Nobody in our community, for sure. But they wanted to try to convince us as a whole that nobody in the world would be interested in black women. And that's just not true. That's just not true. Now, even though we have made the greatest leaps and bounds, we still have to deal with being underpaid. So anything we do, we've got to fight. But at the end of the day, I know we got it. We got it. We are in a state where black women are seeking ease, and it's rightfully so. We are seeking lives where we are just going to let y'all have it. Like, we are finding ways to attain wealth And then live our life in ways that are comfortable for us. And what that means is that we are getting our education, we are becoming homeowners and business owners and investing and traveling and enriching our lives in ways that are suitable for us. We are not trying to white people it. Get what I mean? We're doing it in ways that are comfortable for us. You barely breaking us off a piece of the pie, but we're still killing it. And then we're really flipping that shit and saying, look, we're out of here. The exodus for Black women leaving this country. When you realize you can go travel the world and live in other countries very peacefully and very well respected. And you can use your American dollar and your American passport to live very, very plentiful. That is what I encourage. I'm a part of that shit. That's the community that I'm a part of. All these things that I speak of on here, I'm going to share. This is another post that I found. It says, this chapter of my life is called, Why Do I Insist on Over-Communicating and Trying to Find a Deeper Reason for Their Behavior So I Can Understand Them More When I Should Just Focus on the Fact That Their Behavior Is Not Aligning with What I Need Right Now So I Can Move Along. Message. I over-communicate like a motherfucker. And it's the most frustrating thing ever. We're over-communicating with the wrong group of people. We need to be over-communicating with these children, with these young women and these young boys that we're supposed to be raising. I don't know what the fuck we're doing. That's who we need to be over-communicating with. Not these men. It's the worst to be trying to communicate with somebody and they don't even give a fuck and then they still don't even understand. I've done that. And as far as the whole thing about, I know I had mentioned this before about Big Face Santana and how his tweets had resurfaced about how he was being hateful. I'm not surprised at all, honestly. I don't know many people in that community that aren't shady in that kind of way. Especially if it's hoodie, honey. It's a whole bunch of shade being thrown for everybody. And if I'm wrong, correct me. Let me find somebody similar to Saucy Santana, who carries on the way that he does, that promotes anything positive. There are some people like Alonzo Arnold, funny, like in a comedic kind of way. I don't know if I've ever seen him be shady. So I guess I'll take it back. But, like, the energy that Saucy Santana gives off is not something I'm attracted to anyway. I don't like gossiping ass, you know, bullshit talking ass motherfuckers. I just don't like it anyway. So, some of y'all love that shit. Come to find out, he was a part of the She Nappy and Ugly and Not As Cute As Blue team. Yeah, I'm holding you accountable, too. I'm holding you accountable, too. Big Face. And every other adult who had something to say. And I came across this Fox Soul.
I think. No, you don't want to know what I think.
I do. You know I do.
And Lisa Ray.
Girl, here we go. Well, let me get my little cheap wine cooler.
Rusty Cap. And he said that about a Baby Bella. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Girl, fine.
He couldn't say that about Baby Bella because she doesn't have nappy hair.
Doesn't make a difference. It's a child.
How stupid is she?
But I know. I'll quote that for 200.
Okay. You would have been through found him. You already know that.
But you know what? I think when those kind of comments, first of all, it would automatically make me go, who the hell and who are you? You don't know me. You don't know her. I don't give a shit. And I would have took it there because I don't think that they even care that much. I don't think they care about his comment, really.
No, to be honest. Don't.
But like saying Blue Ivy has nappy hair is very ridiculous. A. B. Yeah. The child is doing better than 99.9% of people in America.
Okay.
And I'm saying, like, Blue Ivy against the North. Like, that's something you may, amongst your little shady group in a text message, you might want to be shady with your friends. But to put that on Twitter, it was just, and Saucy, you ain't Miss America yourself. I'm sorry. I hate when people do that and talk about a kid. And they, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have a lot of things going on with you. And I just think that.
And that's that. And she was the only one who said something of intelligence. And I don't give a fuck if black men disrespect black women too. You don't fucking get to either. You don't get a pass because you are a gay man. None of y'all get a pass. Okay? None of y'all get a pass. Black women, Lisa Ray, you don't get a pass. All of these people are outside of the community. They are not a part of this community that I want to be a part of. And so I am disassociating myself with them the same way that I have chosen to disassociate myself from businesses that do not support the black community, black women in the black community. I am disassociating myself the same way from these lousy motherfuckers because I don't have to. I can make the decision and the choice as an adult. Motherfuckers just can't be ignorant and then get passes. You can give them a pass. But I'm not. We need to heal our community. Like, healers, I want to be a part of that community. Not all this ignorant, stupid bullshit. We seem to just be able, we give anybody, because they're a celebrity, a platform. And let them babble on about bullshit. Who says some shit like that? Because Bella doesn't have nappy hair. What? What the fuck are you even saying? Here's another little beautiful post. This is from Self Love Healer. And I'm sharing all of these, like I said. It seems unfair that trauma is not our fault, but healing is 100% our responsibility. I validate how unfair this can feel. I also trust that the empowerment felt from radically accepting our responsibility to do the work is an antidote to the helplessness of trauma. It's got to be done. We have to do it. It's got to be done. You can't live life having had all of these traumatic experiences and not do the work to get out of it. It's unfortunate, but if you don't, you have children with men who don't deserve their seeds and their legacy to be carried on, and they abuse your children, and you make excuses and thump your Bible and say you forgive people because Jesus said. You feel me? It's necessary. You have to do it, because then you stay in this fucking ignorant space. You have to do it. It's not a fucking elective. You have to do it. So because of a lot of the shit that I experienced in my own community, it just turned me into a young woman who was, like, really hard to approach. I used to walk around with a scowl on my face, like a natural frown. Very uninterested in anybody trying to talk to me. Even if I was interested in somebody, I had a really fucked up way of interacting with them. I would be rude to them. Kind of talk shit a little bit. It would be very weird. And a lot of times I would find that, yeah, like, so-and-so would say this, that, and the third. And, like, the word would get back to me, like, damn, like, you were being mean to him. And I would be like, really? And they would be like, yeah, you were being mean. We thought you liked him. And so the shit would just foil. And for one, when I was younger, you know, I went to school and the boys were very aggressive. So they would chase you and then grab your ass. So 9 times out of 10, I would be slapping boys all day. We would be in slapping matches all day. Like, boys were very physically aggressive with girls. So one day, some boy took something from me. I went to go, he had my stuff and he wouldn't give it back. So I started hitting on his back. Do you know this boy stood up and slapped the shit out of me in class? And I was sent to the bathroom to try to get myself together. It was the worst experience of my life. I had to get myself, nobody came to the bathroom with me. My teacher didn't come to the bathroom with me. I went to the bathroom by myself after being slapped and humiliated in class. I would be chased up the hall, chased down the hallway and in the stairwell by boys who wanted to grab my ass. So I would get into these little physical altercations with guys. And this is in middle school. By the time I got to high school, if anybody even tried to approach me, they would get the fuck out of here. Literally. The way that I looked, and I would say it. Just very sharp and nasty. Like, you know, like just the typical, like what you would imagine a young teenager from New York, how she would behave. Just like real quick with it, like real irritate, like that is the energy that I had because of my experiences. So people, why do you look so mean all the time? And you know, I'm just trying to talk to you, and I just never gave a fuck. I was always uncomfortable for a very long time. If I was walking towards a bunch of niggas, I would try to do everything I could to avoid them. But if I had to cross paths with them, just the instant discomfort I would feel, the anxiety, I would be nervous, I would be hot and sweaty. Nothing about it was fun to have a whole bunch of men do the catcall and, you know what I mean, like gawk at you and look at you up and down, all that. None of that shit. I never enjoyed any of that shit because of my past experiences. And of course, that's not, I don't know who that's comfortable for. It was never comfortable for me. I never liked it. I had an experience where I was, I met up with some people, and the guy, he would come pick me up and he would come pick up another girl. And we became, the girl and I became really, really close. And at the time I thought that he was interested in the girl because he had knew her before me. I don't really remember how we ever met, but we all lived in close proximity to one another. And he would come pick me up and come, then come pick her up or whatever. And we would go hang out. We'd go to the little Caribbean spot and we would have fun. And one night, we were all too intoxicated to go back home after the club. So we all stayed at his place and we just piled on the couch or wherever we could find a corner to go to sleep. And in the middle of the night, this motherfucker attacks me. Like, I wasn't sleeping in his bed. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. Let's just be clear. We had no conversation about being interested in one another. Like I said, I thought he was interested in the other girl. And he attacked me. He started pulling out my clothes and kissing me very forcefully. It's pitch black dark. There's other people around. It seemed like nobody else woke up. I felt so fucking scared. He came to pick me up. I had no way to leave. And I feel like he came at me twice. He came at me more than once. And I just felt so fucked up. I felt so fucked up. I was so afraid. I was so mad. And I had to wait until everybody woke up the next day for him to take me home. I did not go back to sleep. And you know what's worse? I thought about this was worse. It makes me a little emotional. I stopped talking to him for a really long time. And it was such a long time, I forgot why I was even mad at him. He had reached out to me on social media and we never connected to link up again because it was something that I couldn't remember what it was, but I just remembered that I didn't like him. But we had reconnected on social media. And it wasn't until I wanted to put this show together that I realized that is why. This is very recent, this week. I just remembered that that was why. That was such a mildly traumatic experience. My mind pushed it away. I couldn't even remember why I wasn't fucking with him anymore. I have a guy friend who, and I have other guy friends, which is why I as I've gotten older, I tend to try to use the phrase very loosely. I do not think that you could be in a platonic relationship with men because at any given point, they'll fuck you if you let them. That's not a guy friend. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. It's not a platonic relationship. You know, like if the man is not your brother, your real brother, not no play brother because y'all been friends since you were little babies. If it's not your real brother, there's no way that that relationship is genuine.
You know what I mean? And don't look like something. Don't be attractive in any way. It will never, it could never be. As I've gotten older, I've realized it can never be. I don't have guy friends who, when we link, if I got drunk enough, it wouldn't happen. Get what I'm saying? I don't feel comfortable enough around my guy friends where I could, I'm using the word very loosely, friends. I do not feel comfortable around any guy friend that I have where I would fall asleep, because I've fallen asleep on a guy friend's couch and woken up with my pants unzipped. It's unbelievable. And this is how I've navigated in my community. I have been intoxicated, but I know fucking better. I've not been drunk enough, drunk to the point where I don't realize that I don't know how to zip my pants back up. That's not happened. And when you try to explain it to yourself that way, well, maybe I got up in the middle of the night to go pee and maybe I didn't pull everything back up. But then you say, oh, but remember where you are. Remember whose house you're at. You're always on guard as a Black woman. You're always on guard in your own community where you should feel the safest. You are always on guard. Another example. Cousins and I decided to go to the movie theater to watch a movie. One of my cousins stayed back. Her husband came along. Soon as the fucking lights went off and the movie started to play, this man, about 20 minutes into the theater, starts to forcefully try to put his hand on my knee and work it up my thigh. The entire movie, Jesus. The entire movie. The entire movie. I was terrified. I can't remember if he ever took it off my leg. I just remember forcefully, like, trying to pull my leg away from him. A lot of my experiences have happened as a young adult with older men. And the experiences that I've had as a younger person, like a teenager or a child, have been with my peers. Inappropriate conversations I've had with elder boys, you know, that they've had with me. The being physically aggressive with me, like sexually aggressive with me. And like, you know, like I said, grabbing me up and shit like that. And then as I became older, having these encounters with older men. At one point, you know, my sister and I were very physically active in sports when we were younger. And I was tasked to take her to the gym at one of the middle schools after school let out on some days and run some drills with her. So I would bring her all our cones, and my dad gave me a list of instructions. He got the okay from somebody there. Now, when we first moved here, I went to middle school maybe like half of the year before I started high school out here. So this particular coach I was familiar with because he was my coach when I went to this school. Of course, he didn't remember me. Like, I looked completely different. And of course, I was new. Like, he didn't know me for that long anyway. So I would see him on occasion, but nobody bothered us. We would have the whole gym to ourselves. I would run the drills with her, and then we would go home. So then one day, this man runs up on me at the gas station, telling me about how he can take care of women. I'll take care of a young woman. I'll pay your bills, you know, very, very seriously. And I was just like, I had nothing to say. I didn't even know how to respond. Like, I've always just been tongue-tied in these situations. I stopped going. We never went back to that gym again. It's like I have all of these experiences where men have forced themselves on me in some way, and it's been in my own community. And it's made me be very
aggressive in my interaction with them. I do not trust anybody, like still to this day. You know, you have to do a lot for me to trust you. Do not trust a lot of men. I'm not skinning and grinning like when we go on vacation and guys come up and they want to socialize. I'm not interested. Fuck y'all. What do y'all want? I'm not here to do that. Like, I just always had that energy, like, fuck out of here energy. I've never been, now I have always wanted to, like, I'm a woman still, so I've always wanted to have a relationship with a man, but just the constant interaction and the coming up and the, you know, just the wanting to socialize and stuff, I've always been very weary and leery of that. My younger sister is the one with the bubbly personality, so she always has this natural smile on her face. You know, she seems to be, everybody seems to enjoy her company and her interaction. And so everybody, because everybody was always telling me how I just always had the bitch face and I was so, you know, unapproachable. I decided, well, let me just try to, I would walk around with a forced pleasant look on my face. I would with a forced smile on my face to seem engaging so that I wouldn't be off-putting to men. After having this energy and wanting to protect myself and realizing that they just thought I was being aggressive and mean, I was like, well, I don't really want to come across as that, because I hadn't thought it through at that point. Of course, when you're living in it and you're dealing with it, you haven't thought it through. So I decided, well, I'm nice, I'm funny, I'm cool. Let me try to fix my face, essentially, and not look so mean and fucked up when I'm in the company of men or men are around. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm being aggressive or not ladylike. And I want, you know what I mean? So I would force this fucking stupid ass smile on my face. And trust me, it didn't divert the attention of the bums and the men who I wasn't attracted to. It didn't do anything. It just made it more easy for men who were the big assholes to feel comfortable enough to still bother me. I have had so many uncomfortable exchanges with men, and a lot of black women have, and I've never felt comfortable bringing it to my parents. Even as an adult and living on my own, I've had these uncomfortable experiences with men that I called friends, where they would just force and push the limit. I mean, honestly, this just happened to me this summer where a friend of mine was like telling me how great he was in bed and how great of a kisser he was. And like essentially trying to imply that, you know, why don't I just give it a try? You know, because just why not? I mean, it's just so what, like, why not? What's the big deal? And I was like, well, it's good to know. I'll keep that in mind when I'm interested in doing that. But you just can't be, as a woman, you just can't be. There's always some type of sexual component, some type of sexual, like I have been made to feel like I'm not fun, like I overreact because I've said no. Like I'm uptight because I've said no. I can't imagine how you are in bed. You must be boring in bed. Like, why would you want to know? I would never tell you that. I would never tell you that. If I'm not interested in you sexually, you would never know how I am in bed. I would never sit in front of a man and tell you how I ride the dick. I would never do that. Oh, your body just seems so firm. Like, you know, does it feel so hard? Like, do you even, like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? You would never know how I am sexually because you would never be in that position. Because no matter what you tell me about how great you are in bed, if I don't have an attraction to you in that way, I'm not just going to be fucking you. But then it always comes back on you being boring and uptight and whatever. You know, that's what I've experienced. It's been uncomfortable. Like, it's such an uncomfortable experience, and I felt like I should share. Like, the whole Me Too movement was really helpful in letting men know that a lot of the shit y'all do is just inappropriate and you just don't know, because women as a whole
are not very comfortable. We do not have the words. We do not know how to tell you these things. A lot of it is about safety too. We want to be safe. I've never, very seldom have I gone off on somebody for being aggressive with me sexually. I've put myself in situations where I've been taken advantage of that way, and it wasn't right. But I'm not saying, but it wasn't right, period. But I have been taken advantage of when I was sick one time and I wound up having strep throat or something, and I was hanging out with somebody and they were over, and I was too weak. I was too weak to make this person leave. And so, you know, this conversation that I'm having is really just to bring more light to it. I want to be very clear, like, again, and it's also to just be very clear about finding your community and like really, really going hard for it. Holding people accountable that crush you and crush your community. Uplifting yourself. We got to watch these kids. Like, we need to be better so that we can help them be better. I don't have, I have younger cousins, but they're adults and, you know, married off and things like that. I don't have cousins, younger cousins that are like right up under me. And so I can't have the conversation with anybody but my nephews, you know, when they come of age, because we're close enough. But it's different because I'm a woman, and I want to be able to have these conversations with young women. You've got to protect yourself. There's been so many places and things that I have like environments that I've been in, and things could have been avoided. You want to be as safe as possible. You want to encourage safety. You want to encourage growth. I want to encourage education and being open to all types of experiences of life. It's one thing I hate the most, to see a young person just be really negative about different cultures and different foods and art and all that. That's the worst. I hate it so much. I hate it so much. We have to do a better job of protecting and uplifting the young people in our community. We have to be very cautious about the language that we use. You know, I'm very cautious about the language that I use with my nephews. No, anything associated with negative language, I try not to use it. There's no, and yeah, they're little. They don't need to be exposed to the fucking harsh bullshit of the world. It could be a fucking fairy tale for them, as long as we say it is. You get what I'm saying? There's a lot of people who are so quick to try to throw reality into children's faces. Fuck that. You do that with your own kids and see how good it works. You make your kids all grown too soon and they know about all the horrors of life. That's traumatic for a fucking child. We're the only ones who do shit like that. Everybody else's child can live a good, full, happy, joyous life. But we got to be the ones hitting black kids over the head with fucking trauma. I don't have children, so how my nephews are raised, I'm only a supplement to that. Their parents are the ones who run the show. You get what I'm saying? My mother, their other grandmother, aunties, we supplement and support with their parents, the framework that they lay down. So I really don't have a lot of control. However, I am very, like, as an auntie, and I have this conversation with my sister all the time, like, you know, and she agrees. She agrees with a lot of it. This is how I feel. This is how I want to be with these boys. You have to love them completely. Once you make a decision to have a child, you don't get a fucking break.
the work is nonstop. It's what makes it so difficult for me to feel comfortable in being a parent myself. It's endless work. It's not easy. You don't get any days off. You don't get to say, well, I'm tired. That doesn't help them in any way. They didn't ask to be born. I'm going to go ahead and close, guys. I've decided that just after going through all of my emotions and thoughts on about this episode, that you can't change how you are based off of your experiences. I don't know when I will be more open and inviting and welcoming, and when I won't use my past experiences as a shield, as a wall to protect me. But I have taken a lot of the guilt and like shame from things from my past experiences off of me. I don't walk around with a scowl anymore. I have a little bit of, you know, I can like go back and forth with the dialogue, and I know how to better defend myself in tough situations. That's been very helpful. We need to teach that. The younger you are, and you can avoid a lot of shit. You can ward off a lot of shit. At 40, I'm a little bit more comfortable in defending myself and preventing a lot of situations. 20, I wasn't. Let's protect our community. Let's continue to seek ease and comfort and luxury for ourselves and peace for ourselves and taking off the cape. If we're going to wear a cape for anybody, though, it's got to be for these children. We've got to be able to do better by our children. There's no excuse anymore. There's one last thing I want to close with. It is and I'll share this as well. It was from Transparent Black Girl. Why the Soft Life Era is an Act of Radical Wellness. A thread on Black women and the power of leaning into softness, because we've heard the girls were saying the soft life was just about luxury when it's really about Black women laying down what was never ours to carry. Why Black women deserve soft lives. From childhood, Black girls are taught to give to others, to serve, to look pristine, to be nurturing, to raise generations, to grow up and become strong Black women. But who teaches us softness? Who teaches us to prioritize ourselves, to admit that we don't have the capacity to nor want to do it all? The soft life era is Black millennial women's way of saying no more. Black women are making space for ease in their lives. They're deciding strength and work ethic don't have to be their sole identity. We should celebrate that. So whether you see a Black woman online traveling the world on a yacht in the name of softness or laying in the grass in her backyard reclaiming her inner child, both are beautiful declarations that deserve to be seen. If Black people are not a monolith, then Black women's soft lives shouldn't be either. Soft lives aren't reserved for Black women in a certain tax bracket. They're here for us all. Leaning into a soft life can be as simple as you asking yourself these questions. What areas of my life feel heavy? How can I take better care of myself? Am I hyper-independent? Does my trauma consume me? Do I allow myself to experience consistent joy? Let's ponder on that until the next show. Have a wonderful Juneteenth. Be safe. Let's tap into this healing. Okay? Y'all be well. Peace.
Sit in shit too long, it stops smelling. So come the fuck out of there.